Could we turn in our Bibles, please, to the Old Testament? And we're turning to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. While you're turning up the scriptures of holy truth, in February of last year, I was preaching in one of our congregations. And as the preacher or the speaker does, the minister does on occasions on the Lord's Day, he will go to the door and shake hands with those that are leaving. And on this particular Lord's Day, there was an elderly lady, 82 years of age, I can remember it well. And she was crying as she approached me in the line to shake hands. And she caught the lapels of my coat and she said, "Preacher, I'm in awful trouble." And she says, "I do not know what to do." I remember that morning taking her to the room afterwards and speaking with her, and we prayed. And I said to her, "We need to take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the first thing we need to do. Then we need to trust God's promises, the promises of God's word. We need to hold on to them." And then I said, "The most difficult thing to do is, while we're waiting in God, is to keep praising Him." But you know, after that service that morning, I was very exercised about that subject. What to do when we know not what to do? During my scripture readings in the following weeks, I was turned to this portion in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that of Jehoshaphat's prayer. And I want us to read this morning a few verses from verse 1 to 15 as we consider this subject in this Sabbath morning service. Verse 1 of chapter 20. "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be of Hazes and Tamar, which is in En-Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand there is not power and might, so that there's none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who drivest out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and givest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and of Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." And then note these words: "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." With our Bibles open, can we pause for a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Scriptures of Holy Truth. We thank thee, Father, that we're conscious as the entrance of thy word that giveth light. Oh God, I pray this morning that you'll illuminate the pages before this preacher. Oh God, we pray that you'll, as you've done this week in the children's meetings, you'll give us good listening ears and understanding hearts to receive the good seed of the word. Save the lost this day. God, we pray you'll encourage your people. Give us a skip to our step after that we leave this service. And if there be those that are downcast, as we prayed already in the prayer meeting this morning, those that feel that the sun will never shine behind the clouds again, God, we pray that you'll give them joy, that they might realize at wit's end corner that thou art there. Bless us, we pray. Give us liberty in preaching thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I once saw an advertisement about a restaurant, an eating place, if you like, and it was called Wit's End. It was advertised in the magazine as the place to be. And yet I'm sure this morning, I was sobered as I read it, and I thought, I'm sure all of us have found ourselves at our wit's end. Your situation may have been different than mine, but at some time in our lives, we were found in that place where we knew not what to do. And yet at our wit's end, I don't think any of us would say it's the place to be. I've never heard anyone say, "Preacher, I wish I could be at my wit's end." And yet, unfortunately, we all have been there in that place. We often feel like the man who said that the light at the end of the tunnel turned out to be the lights of the approaching train, trouble on its way. So what to do when you don't know what to do? When you're in trouble, when you're at wit's end, when it seems the tears are flowing and you cannot tell anyone else. It's often, you know, that we try everything else and everyone else, and then we come to the Lord when our back is against the wall. In the story before us this morning, we find Jehoshaphat at a place in his life and he's not knowing what to do. I want us to consider three things this morning, and I trust the Spirit of God will take up his word and that we might understand that even when it's at our darkest, that we might know that Jesus is always there. I want you to notice, first of all, in this portion, the multitude that was alarming. There was a multitude here, something that was alarming Jehoshaphat. Armies that were coming against him. And the story here revolves around Jehoshaphat and the problem he was facing in his life. Of course, his situation reminds us of the problems we face in our life. And like Jehoshaphat, there are the disturbing and the distressing times that bring us to that place. Now, this multitude that was alarming, I want you to notice two things about it this morning. Picture these armies that are coming against him. So here in the Bible, it tells us about the problem that he encountered. Here's the problem. Verses 1 and 2 says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." You see, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that Moab had an old grudge against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat had gone up against Moab. So now Moab, if you like, is taking revenge. And of course, they strengthen their army and their forces by creating an alliance with the Ammonites and other nations, others beside, the scripture says. So their combined forces together create an army that outnumbers Jehoshaphat. Now we need to get that picture here. These armies are bent on one thing, the humiliation and the destruction of Jehoshaphat and Judah. So Jehoshaphat here finds himself with a huge problem in his life. There's a great multitude and it's alarming. That's the problem. But notice quickly, in this army, this multitude, this problem that he encounters, there's perplexity that he expresses. Because the Bible says in verse 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared." Sometimes, you know, we think that when problems come or trials come, we should be superhuman. And yet here's God's servant, and it says he feared. I'm sure you could nod with me this morning, and I don't want you to do it for embarrassment's sake for you, but you could nod with me and say, yes, I have been afraid. Oh, it hasn't been the army. I might never have the armies of the world coming against me, but the problem that I faced brought perplexity. You know, as a child, we used to say, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. And yet, in this case, it's Jehoshaphat who's afraid, and Moab and the allies together are the big bad wolf. Jehoshaphat knows he's in trouble. Look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Is that how you feel today? You say, preacher, as I sit in this meeting, I don't know how to stop it. I don't know how to solve what's happening in my life. And yet this morning, let's be honest before God, you can't flee it. You can't forget it, and you've no idea how you're going to face it. It's one of those situations where you do not know what to do. Of course, Jehoshaphat here in the scriptures, it's a picture of the situations we face that fill us with fear and anxiety. Maybe it's a physical situation this morning. And you say, preacher, yes, now we're getting very close to me. It's a physical situation. Something suspicious about an X-ray. The doctor's report is alarming. You're battling some disease or sickness. And you say, preacher, I'm fearful of the outcome. Maybe in this day of what's classed as the credit crunch, it's a financial situation. And there's more month than there is money. And you say, preacher, I'm really on the verge, as I sit here this morning and no one knows it, I'm on the verge of collapse. I'm on the verge of my business caving in around me, on the verge of losing everything. Maybe it's parental. The son or daughter that was the pride and joy of your life. And yet, parent, today you're here and it's an awful trial for you because they've turned their back on all that you taught them. And today, maybe they're not even found in the house of God. And they're further and further and further away. Maybe it's marital. And that marriage that you thought would last forever is falling or has fallen apart. Counseling is no good. And you feel as you sit here this morning, you're waiting alone. Or maybe, finally, one other example. Maybe it's emotional. Do you say, preacher, it's not physical with me, it's not financial, it's not parental thing, it's not my marriage, but you know, I feel that if one more thing happens, I snap. Everything seems to be coming down upon me. It seems that life's getting harder and harder, and I can't handle it. And we're at wit's end corner. Jehoshaphat's here. Picture it. Look at the scene. Moab, Ammon, others beside are coming against Jehoshaphat. Now, as we move further into the story, not only do we see the multitude that was alarming, but I want you to notice the message that was assuring. Jehoshaphat gets a message from the Lord, a word from the Lord. Isn't that so when we're in trouble? Might we run for the word? Or do you do that today? Maybe, as we've all done in our lives before God applied the needed graces, we've run hither and thither. We've told this one and that one. We're with the neighbours and no one can help. And all it's done is they talk about it to others. I've often said, your secret's safe with the Lord. But it was needful in the hour, in this hour in Jehoshaphat's life, a time when he needed a word from the Lord. God has a word for you today. I believe, I told Wilsley this week, I believe this message is for this morning. I couldn't run from it. I couldn't flee from it. Every day I thought about it. And there's a word from the Lord here for you. Now, two things about this message, very quickly. This message that Jehoshaphat got from the Lord, I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice, first of all, his prayer to God. Now, Jehoshaphat may have not known what to do, but he did the first thing that a person should do. He took his problem to the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm not making this up. It's all before you. Keep your Bible open and look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Now, note these words. And set to seek himself. To seek the Lord. And set himself to seek the Lord. I was lying in bed one night, and my wife often says in the morning, because during the night thoughts will come to my mind, and I have yellow post-its at the side of the bed, and I write things down and I stick them up on the wall behind the headboard of the bed. And in the morning sometimes she'll say, I'm tidying up today, what can go and what can stay? And I'd say, leave everything there until I lift it away, if you don't mind. She's always very gracious and does. But one night I was lying and I was thinking about this, oh, in the autumn of last year. And I thought prayer should never be the last resort. Yes. Prayer should never be the last resort. Prayer should be the first response. You note that, believer, this morning. I've needed that and you'll need it too. Prayer should never be the last resort. Prayer should be the first response. And yet too many times we pray when we've exhausted all other possibility. This is an opening up of the wounds of our lives this morning. This is being opened before God. I'm being opened before God, and I trust, believer, you will be too. And the first thing we should do is take our problems to the Lord in prayer. That over 80-year-old lady, and she was crying. I was vexed for her. I'm a soft crater, as we would say. And you know, I don't like to see anyone annoyed or upset, and I'd always want to help them. And she was crying. And yet I said, dear, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm sure, Mr. Elliot, you've often heard, and I've heard it said too. I've often heard people say, I've done all I can. We've done all we can, and the only thing we can do is pray. May I say, prayer is the first thing to do. Now, notice with me the prayer of Jehoshaphat, because this message, now let's get this clear. The message that was assuring to him was two things. His prayer to God. Now let's notice the prayer to God. There's two things about it. Very quickly. He appealed to God on two things. Firstly, he appeals to God on the basis of God's ability. Look at verses 5 and 6. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? He's saying, listen, God. This is so. He's asking a question, but he's answering it. God, you're able here. I wonder, do you realize today that God is able? That he reigns in the heavens, and he ruled the earth, and of God such a power and might, no one can stand against him. He appears in God's ability. Do you realize today, sister, that God's able to see you through? We can come to God with any problem, knowing there's no problem we can face that God can't handle. And there's nothing in your life or mine that we face that is beyond the ability to handle. The angel said to Mary, remember, Luke chapter 1, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So he appeals to God because of God's ability. But also quickly, this prayer, Jehoshaphat's prayer to God, is also in God's availability. Look at verses 7 to 9. You see, Jehoshaphat reminds God here of the promise that he made to Israel. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give us to it the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. You can read down the other verses, verses 8 and 9. The promise that God made to Israel, that he would be there when they needed him, and if ever they needed him, it's now. Brother, if ever you need the Lord, it's now in the day of darkness. Read the Psalms. Oh, I read the Psalms for comfort. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. Psalm 46, and the verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Abraham Lincoln said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. And may I say to you today, we can always go to the Lord in prayer because the Lord's available. The Lord's available. Are you, brethren and sisters, today, young people? Young people can have problems too. Difficulties at school, at university. We were speaking this week in the children's meeting of the different kinds of people in the life of Paul that came to the Lord. And you know, the bully can be saved. The bully can be saved. You're good. I wonder this morning, are you at the place where you don't know what to do and you're crying to the Lord? Well, cry because he's able. Cry because he's available. But very quickly, the message that was assuring, we've looked at the prayer to God. But let's look quickly at the promise from God. Not only did he take it to the Lord in prayer, but God answers him. He gives him a promise. And in verse 14 to 17, you'll find that promise. In verse 15, I'll go to the words of the latter part of verse 15 for the sake of time. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. You know, when I read those words first, it made me want to shout, thank God, praise the Lord. God says to Jehoshaphat, you may not know, Jehoshaphat, what to do, but I do. I'll take care of the problem. Don't be dismayed. You just stand back and watch here. The battle's not yours, it's mine. You know, that's the hardest thing to do. I'm convinced it is. And I use the word easier in its right sense. It is easier to pray, easier to read the scriptures, but to wait, to keep still, to keep on praising, to keep attending the prayer meeting, to keep attending the house of God, much easier to stay at home and close the curtains and think it's all over. My friends, there are times when we can do nothing but trust God. Are you there today? You say, preacher, that's where I am. There are some things, you see, that happen in our lives that are out of our hands. Nothing we can do to change what has happened or is happening, and there's not one thing we can do to remedy the situation. But trust God. And here's the good news. When it's out of our hands, it's in God's. The multitude that was alarming. The battle. The army was coming against him. And he feared. And maybe today you're afraid. The message that was assuring. He took his problem to the Lord. He prayed on two things, God's ability and God's availability. And that's true for you and me today. But lastly, let's look at the miracle that was affirming. There was a miracle here. God doesn't say to us, listen, leave it with me. Trust my promises. Keep praising and hope for the best. Thank God we don't live in a hope for the best. Our hope's in the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy to persevere. It isn't easy. And I'm not going to make that fanciful or glorious today. It isn't easy, but it's possible. Now, what God did for Jehoshaphat and how he delivered him is one of the most thrilling stories of the Bible. The resources of God's power and the reliability of God's promise are affirmed here in a marvelous and a miraculous way. I must be honest, and I've read this many times over the years, but sometimes we skim over the verses and we don't really read in. But at the beginning of this scripture, the beginning of this problem as I saw it, I did not think of myself, this is how it would end. But then how often do we have troubles and trials and they work out better than we even thought they would? Because God's in control. The miracle that was affirming, two things. First of all, the directions that were given. Now, in a normal case, the people would have been commanded to sharpen their swords, stockpile their arrows, put on their armor, kiss the wife and kids and say goodbye. That's what the army do, I'm told. Never been in it. No desire to be either. But you know, that's, well, I'm told as I read, that's what they do. And they say goodbye. And then they gather around the leader of the army for a pep talk and how they should be brave and how they should fight like never before. But instead of weapons, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat calls for worship. Instead of putting swords in their hands, he puts songs in their heart. Now here's an army, armies coming to battle. And they're not going to be going out to the front line, as it were, to fight. They're going to worship. They're going to praise. Here's the praising, you see. As I said to that dear sister, let's take it to the Lord. Jehoshaphat did. You need to do it as well. Claim his promises. Jehoshaphat did. You need to do it as well. But here's the praising. Here's the part when we keep praising. Keep rejoicing. That the devil, that Satan, as we talked about this week, Satan at his work. So instead of putting commandos in the front line, he calls for the choir. I love singing, but reading this story, I did not believe that this is how this would happen, and yet God's word is ever true. I was surprised, and yet we should never be surprised when God's in control. The Bible tells us, look at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have been one of them? Now, that's a part of the army I would have loved. I don't think I'd look good in the kit. But I can tell you, when he was called for the singers, I'd love to have gone. He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went before the army and said, praise the Lord! For his mercy endureth forever. You see, early in the morning, Jehoshaphat calls the people here together. He asks for the singers to come to the front line. And when they begin to march towards the enemy, they cut loose, if you like, and sing glory down. Now, it's all here. I'm not adding little bits in here to make this sound good. You read it in your own time. So Jehoshaphat calls for people to praise the Lord. You see, the battle wasn't theirs. It was the Lord's. Verse 15 tells us that. The battle's not yours, it's God's. And the Lord went to work. So in this miracle, there's directions given. But look at the deliverance. Here's where you've got to have hope, brother and sister. Here's where you've got to press on. Keep faithful to God and his work. Verses 22 to 24. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Now you remember, it's the Lord's doing this work here. I thought when I read those lines first, I thought, isn't it so often we wait so long and then we start to fix it ourselves? We can't wait long enough to sort the problem and we try to mend it and we're making a mess. Ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, look at this. Everyone helped to destroy one another. The armies are fighting themselves. They're killing themselves. I can imagine that God looked at Jehoshaphat and said, watch this. All of a sudden, the enemy start killing each other. They wipe themselves out, and God's people are delivered. That's a secret, you know. Keeping faithful and letting God do the work. So back to the start of this message this morning. When I was exercised by that dear old lady, and I asked the question this morning, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Keep praising the Lord. Let me just say that if you're not saved, then you know nothing of that ability of God. You need to come. You need to agree with God you're a sinner. You need to believe that Jesus is the only Son of God, our Savior. And then you need to come. I've said to the children this week, listen, I could talk all week, I could preach all week, but you have to come. I can't save them. I can't save you today, sir. Madam, young person, I can't save you. Now here's a secret for the Lord's people. Do not let problems and circumstances rob you of your praise. Praise the Lord for what He said. Praise Him for who He is. Don't pout. Don't shout. Now let's face it, it's easy to praise the Lord on the mountains when things are going good and there's no problems to face. But you know what the Lord commands in His Word? The Lord wants us to praise Him not only in the mountains, but in the battlefields. Now lastly, what will praise do? It will take your eyes off your problems and put them on God. This is worth noting. It will take your eyes off your problems and put them on God. And secondly, praise will keep your focuses off. Get this. Praise will keep your focuses off what you cannot do. And it will help you focus on what God is able to do. Three things in the substance of this message. Jehoshaphat took it to the Lord in prayer. You do that too. Trust God's promises. My, there are many of them in God's word. And praise Him. And I thought of the words of this hymn a few months ago. And then I wrote amen. So it'll be amen after this. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And He can do what no other can do. May God bless His word to our hearts. Amen.